July 4th. Jesus says, "The Eucharist is my blood and my body, but have you ever considered that this blood and this body have been formed with the blood and the milk of Mary? She, the most pure one who received heaven into her womb, clothing in her flesh the immaculate whiteness the word of the Father after the divine marriage with the Holy Spirit, did not limit herself to giving birth to the Savior. She nourished him with her milk in such a way that you, men that feed on me, suck the milk of Mary which became blood in me, the virginal milk. How then, can you so often remain slaves to the flesh, if this immaculate milk descends into you, along with my blood? It is as if a fountain of heavenly purity poured its waves into you, and are you not left cleansed by it? How can you fail to be when the milk of the Virgin, and the blood of the Redeemer, are circulating in you? When you approach my table it is as if you were bringing your mouths up to the mother's most chaste breast. Consider this, children who do not love us very much. I am happy over your sucking from that breast from which I have drawn nourishment. But I would like life to increase in you, as a baby's fed at a breast. I would like you to grow and be fortified. A wet nurse's milk transfuses moral tendencies in addition to material life. How can you, nourished at that most pure breast, not take on the spiritual likeness to Mary? She clasps you to her breast as malnourished, sick, and unwashed as you are. And she cleanses you, nourishes you, and takes you to her firstborn son, for she wants you to love him. If it were not for the care of Mary, for the prayers of Mary, the human race would no longer exist. I would have annulled it, for your way of life has truly touched the depths of evil and justice is wounded, and patience has passed all limits and punishment is at the ready, but Mary is there, sheltering you under her mantle, and if, with a mere gaze, I can bring paradise to its knees and make the stars tremble, I can do nothing against my mother. I am her God, but I am always her baby. I rested on that heart in the first sleep of infancy, and in the last one of death, and I know all the secrets of that heart. I know, then, that to punish you would mean giving the mother of the human race, the true mother, a stabbing pain, for she always hopes she can lead you to her son. I am her God, but she is my mother. And I, perfect in everything, am your master in this, too in love for the mother. To those in the world who still believe I say the salvation of the world, is in Mary, if you knew how God is withdrawing into the depths, in the face of the ever-mounting tide of crimes that you commit, you that are deicides, you that are fratricides, you that break the law, you that are fornicators, you that are adulterers, you that are thieves, you that are a den of vice, you would tremble. But you have turned into fools. Previously it was I that was the bridge between the world and heaven. But truly in the face of your obstinacy in evil, the Christ is withdrawing, as he once withdrew from Jerusalem, for the hour has not yet come, and the Christ, awaiting the hour, is leaving you to your evil, so that you may do it. Now, Mary is the only bridge left. But if you disdain her, too, you shall be crushed. I do not allow the woman upon whom the Holy Spirit descended to conceive me, the Son of God and the Savior of the world, to be disparaged. The evening. Feeling as I do now I have been tempted to soften my usual mortifications a bit, which I have been rigorously resuming for some months, for I felt Jesus desired them but my Jesus replies to me. No. Persevere. The world is covered with a sea of sins, and oceans of penance are needed to wash them away. If there were many of you to expiate, I could say, moderate. But there are too few of you, and the need is so great. There would be little reparation from what you are able to do. There is an enormous disproportion between sin and expiation. But I don't look at what you are able to do. I observe and judge that you are doing all you can. All. I want this all to make infinite reparation. The all of my imitators, lovers and victims, to make infinite amends for sinners. Persevere. You will not die for this reason. But, rather, peace and light will enter you increasingly. Remember, moreover, that when, out of human prudence, you moderated penance, temptation itself insinuated itself, and doubled you over. I permitted it then. Now I don't. And you can understand the reasons. Help me to defeat Satan in arts. Certain demons are defeated by prayer and suffering, remember this. Have mercy. I ask you to have mercy on sinners and on me. They are your brothers and sinners, and are unable to love me. Your penance must light a fire in extinguished hearts. I am your brother, and I am flagellated by sinners. If you saw me flagellated humanly, you, that can't bear to see an animal lashed, wouldn't you leap forward to defend your Jesus? Remember, every sin, every act of blasphemy, every curse aimed at God, every loss of faith, and every betrayal is a whiplash for me. Doubly painful because now I am no longer the unknown Jesus of 20 centuries ago, but I am the well-known Jesus. The world knows what it is doing now, and strikes me just the same. Remember, you no longer belong to yourself, you are the victim. So for the sake of love, and to be faithful to your ministry, do not moderate. Every act of penance is one wound less for your God. Do it for me. Every act of penance is a light which is lit in the heart. I will take penance away from you when I judge the suffering to be sufficient, and place the palm in your hand. I alone. I am your Lord. Consider how often I was tired of suffering, and yet I suffered, for your sake, because I loved you. Jesus further states, certain moments of weariness and fear must not cause an impression. They are connected with human nature, around which the enemy always roams. Satan is an insatiable devourer, and the vaster his prey is, the more his hunger increases. Like his hunger, his acrimony towards Christ and Christians grows. True Christians. He thus leaves nothing untried. And when he cannot attack frontally, like a raging lion, he comes crawling in. He is always the serpent trying to wind around without being noticed, ready to crunch when he has done so. Unable to do anything else, he thus attempts by way of weariness and fiend. It's the weapon he tried with me too. He did not succeed, but do you know how often he used it? The most subtle and acute snare was in Gethsemane. He oppressed me by showing me what I had to suffer, and how few would benefit from it. I endured that martyrdom of the spirit thinking of the victims in future centuries who would experience it through the work of Satan. I suffered thinking of you. But do not fear. My martyrdom then rescued your weaknesses, and if you do not yield to the enemy, your weakness, caused by fear alone, has no consequences. Satan can give you a shudder of fear, but nothing more, for I am alongside my friends and imitators. Absolute possession is when the soul places itself under Satan's yoke by sin. Otherwise it is just revenge, and roughless the surface without unsettling the depth, where I reign. It is a more or less atrocious suffering. Yours today was just a slight hiss and nothing more. You are in me too much for the devil, to be able to do anything else. Some time ago, he tormented you intensely for years, and he did not always find you so strong as to make him tremble. But the past doesn't count. I tell you, persevere, the past is dead. Even that trial was useful. It is now overcome. Remain, now, in God's furrow, where he has placed you, and do not fear. I tell you, do not fear. And I say to you, overcome the weariness of the flesh, the fears of the flesh beset by the dangers of Satan, with the boldness of the spirit. If you suffered alone, as a mortal creature, you could not resist. But I am with you. But you are suffering for my sake. Believe this with faith, and all boldness will be easy for you, for the spirit is stronger than matter, and is most strong, when it is joined to its God by a knot of charity. I will explain, so that you will not think there was anything serious. No, nothing serious. It was just that, in the face of the great suffering, which rested in voluntary cries from me, I had gotten the idea prompted, of course, by the enemy, as Jesus says, of moderating my mortifications a bit. In reality just a few things, but I cannot do more. But I got an immediate reply, as you see. As long as I can, then, I will go forward. Besides, if I consider the value which I have attached to those trifles, and which is already ratified by the good Lord in many things and I hope it will be for other things too, I am led to conclude that it is really worth holding out, as long as I can, that is, to the limit. And, what is more, if my flesh is weary of suffering, and asks for mercy, my soul is so peaceful and joyful, I cannot emerge from the supernatural happiness left in me after having received the intellectual vision of the Most Holy Trinity. I am under that sun, like a flower. And I look at my sun, shining at the center of the three sublime circles, the sun of God's unity, whose light of infinite peace and infinite beauty infuses new senses into me. To deserve this, what is it to suffer? It is perfect joy.